This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about the link between appearance and mental health. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. We instinctively know that there is a link between our skin and how we feel, and it's a two-way street. Our skin often bears the visible signs of what's going on inside. We tend to break out when we're stressed or not sleeping enough, and when we're dealing with a visible skin condition, it really affects our mood. A growing field is recognizing the importance of this connection in hopes of offering people more holistic treatment. Alan Yu reports.
Summer Forlenza has had eczema since she was a toddler. Her skin was very dry and would often be itchy, irritated, and inflamed all over her body.
Just a really extreme sensitivity to the environment. Cats, dust, any other animals, grass, flowers, sunshine, all of these things can trigger an eczema flare for me.
With severe eczema, the skin can crack and start to ooze.
And a ton of pain also. It became much more painful at that stage because it was kind of just covered in raw wounds all the time.
Summer tried diets, baths, lotions, steroids, and other medications to get relief. But nothing seemed to work. When her skin itched at night, she struggled to fall asleep. She looked visibly different from all the other children at school. And as she got older, her skin condition made it hard for her to have much of a social life.
In my early 20s, you know, all of my friends were going out dancing and going to parties and being really social and things like that. And that's when my eczema was the most severe. So kind of all of that fun, vibrant stage of life period was one that I feel like I missed out on a lot because, you know, I was mostly just in the house.
And it all took a toll on her mental health.
The older I've gotten, the more my eczema shows up on my face. That's primarily where it happens now. And so it's very visible, or at least I feel that it is, you know? And so there's a lot of anxiety and sometimes a desire to kind of hide or isolate because of it. So it's like when I'm more stressed or anxious, I notice my skin flares more. And then also when my skin flares more, there's more depression and there's more anxiety that happens.
Summer started seeing a therapist in her 20s. She says it's been hard to find a mental health professional who understands how debilitating her skin condition can be. Her dermatologists often did not have the time to talk about the mental health aspects of eczema during appointments.
A lot of dermatologists are really, really, really busy, and so we have 15 minutes together, and the focus is, all right, how are your meds working? What can we do? Let's make sure we get these blood tests to make sure it's safe for you to keep taking these meds.
But over time, Summer came to realize that her treatment plan has to include her mental as well as physical health. For example, accepting that she cannot control her eczema perfectly, no matter how hard she tries.
I can take good care of my mental health, sleep really well, avoid allergens, take my meds, and I'm still going to have a flare. And the goal cannot be, let me manage this so perfectly that I never have any pain or discomfort or itching.
Summer is now a therapist herself. She has spoken about the connection between eczema and her mental health in her work with the National Eczema Association. In surveys, patients have reported stress as a common trigger for eczema flare-ups. And in turn, those flare-ups then lead to anxiety and depression. More people are paying attention to the connection between dermatological conditions and mental health. Psychologist Christina Gorbatenko-Roth knows what it is like to have a visible condition that people stare at. She started losing her hair in her 20s due to a condition called alopecia areata. By her late 30s, she had lost all of her hair.
Strangers, I would find them giving me the second look, you know, the second take, the double look, but not a good kind, the bad kind. I remember being stared at. I remember people coming up to me telling me that I'm going to beat the cancer that I have, you know, at the grocery store.
After Christina was first diagnosed and dealing with her condition, she talked to other alopecia patients who had trouble finding therapists to help them.
Many of them have gone to see a mental health person. They have sought that out on their own, and they will say, the person looked at them and said, you know, I don't really quite get it. It's just hair. What's the problem?
Christina says the emotional impact of losing your hair is real.
Many of us will tell you that you feel extremely emotionally raw. You go into the dermatology office and you also have to take off your head covering or your baseball hat or your wig or whatever it is that you're doing. It's almost like a scab. Emotionally, it's like an emotional scab that you can walk around in your day and you try to protect it, but you go in there and it's like it doesn't have to be scratched very hard and you start to be pretty emotionally impacted by your skin condition.
Christina says she did not expect her dermatologists to also be therapists, but she would have liked it if they could have maybe validated the emotional weight that losing her hair would have, or offered referrals to people who could help. She later discovered an organization called the Association of Psychoneurocutaneous Medicine of North America. It's a group of dermatologists, psychiatrists, and mental health professionals dedicated to understanding the skin and mind connection. She went to one of their conferences and found her people.
The doors not only have been opened, but there's a red carpet there, and people are like, come on through.
She's now on the board of this organization, and so is psychiatrist Ladan Mostaghimi, one of the pioneers in this field. More than 20 years ago, at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, she convinced the departments of psychiatry and dermatology to open a clinic that specializes in treating the mental health concerns of people with skin conditions. She says that opened up a whole new layer of care.
For dermatologists, usually you see the affected areas of the skin, you give them a topical treatment, you see if the problem is acne, you treat acne.
But she says, for instance, that people who suffer from acne are more likely to also have issues with anxiety and depression. So a psychodermatologist would check for that as well.
Psychodermatologists take care of both acne and mental health issues created by it. And this is the main difference in approach.
The idea is that a patient would work with dermatologists as well as therapists and psychiatrists to get support for their mental and physical health. Rick Fried, another leader in the field, also started his own clinic where he practices psychodermatology. 30 years ago, Rick had finished medical school and was training to become a psychiatrist. But after seeing a lot of his patients come in with skin conditions, he opted for dermatology instead. His fellow clinical psychologists did not understand this move.
They thought I was crazy. And they thought I was crazy because dermatology and psychology at that time seemed like an unlikely pair.
He says, on the contrary, it makes sense to see the skin and brain as connected. After all, when a baby develops in utero, there are three layers of development. One that leads to muscles, one that leads to intestines and lungs, and one that leads to the brain and skin. Rick likes to say that the brain and skin come from the same place.
And if any dermatologist tells me they don't practice psychodermatology, they probably shouldn't be practicing dermatology.
The field has definitely grown compared to the days when Rick and Ladan set up their clinics. But there are still not enough providers to address demand, says Evan Reeder, a dermatologist and psychiatrist who runs his own practice in New York City. He says one of the obstacles is just how busy dermatologists are.
The workday of a dermatologist is very different than the workday of a psychiatrist. You know, we are often seeing four patients an hour. Some people see more than that. Psychiatrists may see two patients an hour, maybe see three patients an hour, and they have the luxury of time to be able to explore a lot of the topics that dermatologists don't have the luxury to do.
And Evan says that the lack of health insurance coverage is a larger structural hurdle.
The way that doctors are reimbursed to be able to, you know, keep their lights on and pay for their electricity is by seeing patients in high volume.
That's why even though he can practice psychodermatology, most of his work nowadays is just medical and cosmetic dermatology.
There may be more demand if there were more people that could practice in this arena while having a viable business model to keep their practices open.
Summer Forlenza has found medication that works well to treat her eczema and ways to manage the condition. But it is still something that she thinks about every day. And she says she hopes more people can understand how skin conditions can have a huge impact on the lives of patients.
Everyone I know who has severe eczema has had experiences of people being confused about why they're missing school, why they're on disability, why they're traveling to another country to try to get treatment, because I know a number of people have done that. There's such a misunderstanding of what eczema is, and people think of it as a small rash that you get for a little while you're a kid.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.